Yay.
Back on the mic.
We're back. Okay, so we thought we'd switch it up and play a little game today. We're just in the mood to have fun.
Yeah.
Gotta switch it up, you know?
I personally love it's dorky and borderline corny, but I oftentimes will make people who are with me sit around and play what I call the question game, which is, again, so dorky, but I just love to get to know my people.
Honestly, people love that shit, though.
Well, because
people like to talk about themselves. They get excited when someone asks them about themselves and, like, to share specific memories and things, you know?
Yeah. And it also, what initially might seem dorky and kind of silly, it does end up prompting deep conversation. And then yeah, you end up, like, kind of bonding. I don't know.
100%. Oh, no, 100%. That's very true. People love this shit, and I love it, too.
I love it, too. So let's do it. So I bought these little decks of cards that have just prompting questions. So we're just going to pick ones that we either think are fun or that we think are super relevant.
These are from We're Not Really Strangers. That, like, cool Instagram account?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. I just bought it off Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're Not Really Strangers is a really cute Instagram that has, like, a lot of just cool quotes and shit. I don't know. It's very like repostable.
Cool.
But this makes sense that this is from them, that they made this.
Yeah. I saw a couple of their sample questions and I thought they were either like funny or cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Okay. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. It says, what's a vivid memory that you have of me growing up that makes you smile to this day? Well, that's cute. Do you have any?
I mean, so many. I would have to think about
it, babe.
I mean, this is one thing that's really funny about Carly. She doesn't really do it that much anymore. But when we were growing up, we always had to share a room because there were so fucking many of us. And I swear this bitch, when it's time to go to bed or it's time to wake up in the morning, she turns on the jets with talking.
Do I?
And she cannot stop. She don't really do it anymore. But I remember, when we were kids at Hellman, which is the house we grew up at, we shared a bedroom and we had twin beds. And I mean, we literally had these twin beds until she went to college, by the way. I think I was 18 years old, a senior in high school, still in my twin bed. We definitely shared that room.
We did.
Actually, maybe you had the downstairs.
I think in my senior year, I moved to the downstairs room.
Yeah, they gave the downstairs. But yeah, I remember like really being exhausted at night and you just chatting it up. And I'd be like, it's like that meme where it's like, once they give you six cool, 12 mm-hmms and blah, 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 wrap your story up.
I do not catch that memo with you.
And honestly, we have somewhere we have a video of me in college when I was like 20 and Carly was 23 and she's talking in the morning and I just look at her.
Oh, about my dream?
Shut the fuck up.
About
it's
my
too
dream?
Too early. Shut up. I'm like, you need to stop talking.
Okay, but I have really vivid dreams.
No, and my mom does the same thing, by the way.
I'm not that bad. Am I that bad?
No, I'm telling you, something you've changed in your adulthood. But like, I remember driving, and God, I love mom so much. So like, this is just like a quirk about her. But like driving to school in the morning and you just want peace and quiet. You start school at like 7:45. You're in the car at 7:15. Like you're exhausted, whatever. You're like, have your music on. Mom is just chatting it up. I'm like, Chatty Cathy is real.
Yes, she can talk. She doesn't really need you to have a conversation. She has the conversation entirely on her
100%.
Own, but she just appreciates you just existing in her space.
Yeah, she just wants someone to listen.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, that's definitely, I mean, there's a fucking million of those for sure that I, from every age group, but.
I don't think you've ever told me that before. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but I have a distinct, like a, I don't want to say a core memory, but kind of, I guess it is a core memory of like laying in bed in the dark and just being like, I hope she stops talking soon. I'm so tired.
I do definitely go overboard with trying to describe my dreams to people because they're intricate, man. And they're also, I have a lot of nightmares and I want to decode them.
Yeah.
But nobody else cares except my therapist. She cares and she finds my dreams really fascinating.
Dreams are tight. And yeah, she does. She really cares about dreams.
She really, really wants to get to the core.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, your turn.
Oh my gosh, this one, I mean, I feel like this is given. What's one lesson you've had to unlearn from growing up in our family, big or small? There's so many.
Oh yeah, it's not a given because there are a lot.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to mind is changing my communication habits.
Same.
That's the first thing
that come to my mind, too.
Yeah, I think that, and this is with all love and respect because we kind of repeat what we learn most of the time, I think, in life. But I think what was modeled for us was a lot of fear-based communication, a lot of defensiveness, reactivity, blaming, lack of accountability, arguing when you can just communicate. Yeah, I think that I've tried really hard as an adult to make the decision to communicate with respect with people so that I focus on finding solutions and actually being able to move forward with people and maintain respectful relationships versus trying to be right all the time or versus trying to be right versus being defensive. That's kind of the main thing that comes to mind for me is just trying to heal my communication skills.
Same. That would be my answer too. I would say if we kind of learn to like bottle things up and then blow up at each other.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like collectively as a group and individually, of course my older siblings are, Caitlin's 8 years older than me. So she's been on a self-discovery journey for 10 years in therapy and stuff. But I feel like we've all collectively and individually figured out that that's not the way to do it. And to, you know, we've
totally
changed.
Okay. Well, I kind of already asked this one earlier, so maybe it's,
what is it?
For siblings growing up, who got away with more?
Oh.
And it's definitely you.
Me.
It's definitely you.
To this day, bro.
It is.
My mom would do anything for me. I could get away with a lot, but I don't.
But you know what, too? Like, I feel like I hid anything shady that I did as a kid, I just hid it way better.
Yeah, I'm not a, because the thing is I'm not good at, like, I don't like do people wrong or like do the wrong thing. Like, I'm very, like, I'm a square.
This is too hard of a question.
What?
If I have the aux cord on a family trip, what am I going to put on?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. That's literally the most intricate question. We could do a whole episode on that. Where do you want me to start?
Okay, true.
Who's in the car?
I'm saving that. Okay,
Who's in the car? Like, it matters. It all matters.
Okay, this, I wish I had a timer to see how quickly it would take for you to answer this, but which of us is most likely to drive somewhere every day and still get lost?
You, bitch. You've lived your entire life and you don't know where you're going. You need to get like a compass or something.
A compass? That will fuck me up even more.
True. You just need to use, you do use your ways, so.
I'm not bad if I'm actually using GPS. Let's not make me seem like a total. But it's because I am not observant, because I'm so in my head, just overthinking everything constantly. And then I never really map anything out, you know? I just rely on that good old GPS. And if the world ends and I don't have GPS, it's going to be a problem.
What warning sign should be outside of our family home?
I think get ready to have deep talks. I just feel like you can't have shallow talk in our house. Yeah, is that a lame one?
No, it's not. No. Yeah, we don't even have to use that one. But I feel like also it is really like loud and busy when we have family gatherings. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You do kind of have to just dive in.
Yeah, you have to just go for it. You have to just go for it because we're all kind of like loud and strong and but like not aggressively.
We are. We don't have a single person in our family that has a small personality.
I was just telling Sarah this yesterday.
Everyone has a big personality.
Like I was talking about siblings, but even our parents, like all seven of us are strong personalities. And the kids are so fucking strong. Those two kids have the strongest personalities.
I think our brothers-in-law have the softest personalities. 100%,
and that's why they're with our sisters. And my husband is out there right now, and he's going to blend in great, and he's definitely going to have probably a softer personality than me.
I feel like I could see myself with someone who's a strong personality.
Yeah, someone really passionate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know who's for me. I don't really even care.
The cool thing about the duality of people is that they can be really strong and passionate in ways and then know when to like hold them and when to fold them, you know? So you'll be with someone who I think is able to read the room in that way where like they won't be like aggressively passionate or anything. No. They'll be like in the right way, you know?
Totally. Okay. How do I show you I'm in a bad mood without telling you? Like, how do you know I'm in a bad mood?
Well, I know your facial expressions really, really well.
Yeah.
So I can just tell. But I would say quietness from you.
That's so true.
I would say there's a certain level of like a certain retraction into yourself that I see from you that I know something's either gone down. Like I've done, I mean, usually it's not towards me because usually if I've done something, you will say it. But
yeah,
like you definitely kind of, you don't shut down. I wouldn't say at all.
No.
You just get quiet.
Yes.
You just get quiet. And yeah. I can see your eyes kind of shift and like, I don't know.
I just know my brain is going in overdrive is what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm just like.
What about me?
What about you? How do I know you're in a bad mood?
Continue.
No, it's fine. I know you're in a bad mood because you say I'm in a fucking bad mood.
I love it. I love that for me. Yeah, you know what? At least you won't have to guess.
I don't have to guess.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody who's going to immediately come out and say it. I do kind of like, I have a habit of ruminating for a little bit of a period of time before I'm able to communicate what's going on.
Yeah.
Part of it in my adulthood is wanting to make sure that I know what exactly is going on with me before I communicate so that I don't just like start a fight or start a problem so that I'm able to like be direct and actually problem solve. But then also part of it is habit of ruminating.
I think it started in your childhood of like, yeah. Not knowing how to process it because we weren't displayed like healthy ways to process our feelings at times, you know? So you were more like, you would more retract and get quiet. Like everyone in our family talks about it. You would go to your room and you would read and like, just kind of like shut yourself in there, you know, if something was going down. So
you don't do that though. You're just very straightforward. Like I know you're in a bad mood. I know even if I'm not with you, you'll text me. I'm in a bitch ass mood.
It's true.
So I always
it's
know.
Very true.
Do you want to pick one?
Yeah. In one word, how would you describe my role in our family?
Oh, there's so many words because you play so many roles.
Oh, that's fun. Say more words.
Well, the first and most obvious role that is just true is you're the baby. You're the baby of the family. So that comes with like some of the stereotypes of being the baby of the family are true and a lot of them are not true for you. One of them being as the youngest, you actually did get away with the most, like 100%. We were cleaning up after you, like you were our child.
But you want to know what's funny though, is when I was in high school, I didn't really, like it was more when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like in high school, okay, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I wasn't, what? Oh, yeah. You're 15, I'm clean. No.
No, not cleaning up for me, but just like I wasn't like doing shady shit and getting away with it, you know?
No. You actually were never, but I do think that there are certain things that you don't realize that you do that.
Really?
And I don't know that I would be able to come up with a good example because it happens very rarely. Like it does happen very rarely, but sometimes you do still have baby of the family vibes, but
for
it's
sure.
very rare.
Oh, for sure. I think I agree with that.
I think a role that you've always played is like a comedian. I don't know, you're just fucking funny. I think we all rely on your sense of humor to like, just like fun and happy vibes.
Oh, that's a great compliment.
Yeah, I mean, you're fun. I mean, and look, also everyone in our family loves to laugh. All of us love to joke and laugh. Dad is also a comedian of the family
For
too.
Sure.
He's wants to make a joke out of literally everything. But we all love to laugh and we all love to banter. So I think that to us, we so prioritize humor that that's something that really stands out to me about you.
Yeah.
I think in your adulthood, you've come into being like the auntie in the best way possible. Like you are the most reliable aunt of all time.
I love them.
You are. You show up so consistently for the kids. So Auntie Case Dog has become a big role for you in the family.
My babies.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Awesome. Do I pick one now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, should you be asking me this? Because I just asked you to explain something about me. So now I feel like you shouldn't be talking about me more. I mean, you can. I'd love it.
Do you even have an answer to this? What would you bring home to cheer me up after I've had a bad day?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
My dog?
Sweets.
Oh. Sugar, yeah.
We'd bring sugar.
Have you ever brought... Yeah, you have. You used to bring me candy.
Yeah. Well, I just brought you... When you were sad a couple months ago, I brought you candy. And I always feel I always feel like... Well, and there's definitely more things too, but...
Sweets. You're like, I have a great answer for this.
Yeah.
I do have a sweet tooth that won't quit. It's...
Like, I would bring you pink berry, and then I would bring you a couple bags of, like, gummy candies.
Oh, yeah. The gummy candies are my priority, but you're right. I have become fixated on pink berry this past year, and I've never had it my whole life, but I really do love it.
It's nice. It's nice to have sometimes.
I love a tart.
We should go for a pink berry date soon.
Frozen yogurt.
We haven't had it in a while.
No, we haven't. This is a funny thing because an answer doesn't really exist, but like, I'm still going to ask you, what is my comfort TV show and how many times do you think I've watched it?
Either a crime documentary like,
yes,
or a sports documentary.
Yes. Fuck yeah, that was the answer. Either a crime documentary or a sports documentary. That's my comfort show.
And that's a wrap. That's all there is to that.
Yeah. I don't really watch shows, but I want to be, I honestly want to, because it's fun. Like, I don't get to get involved in conversation about shows and things, but I just don't really watch them.
Totally. This one feels self-indulgent and I am too embarrassed to ask it. Actually, maybe I'll ask this. Do you think I've found my passion in life? And what do you think it is?
Oh, I think that's a really good question for you right now, because I think you're starting to be on the precipice of scratching the surface of your passion, which isn't, I don't think it's this specific, I see in your career, I can just tell by your work ethic right now that you're enjoying what you're doing to a level that's high enough where you'll really put your neck out on the line for it.
Yeah.
You're not shitting the bed ever because you actually are engaged. But I don't think your career is your passion. I think you're scratching the surface, like, overall of what your soul's passion is in the last year, I would say. What do I think it is? I mean, I think your passion is figuring out ways to positively affect the world and people and like beings that are being underserved and suffering on a daily basis.
Facts.
I think that's probably your passion. Yeah, I think you're still figuring out ways to like incorporate it into your daily life, which you have the rest of your life to do. And you're like taking steps towards just doing something, you know, but I think that's probably your passion.
Yeah. You're right.
But I can see that you enjoy audio and like you're enjoying what you're doing enough in your career that like you're really committed to it. But I don't think
storytelling.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And my career has given me a great tool to tell stories. And that is something that I'm really passionate about. And I do think that that's like an aspect that I'm good at when it comes to connecting with people.
Yeah.
Like connecting to their stories, and then I don't even know if part of my journey will be amplifying those stories or what it will be, but there is some sort of connection I'm trying to find between like storytelling, empathy, and you're right, serving underserved communities.
Yeah.
Okay, your turn. You got to pick one.
Okay. This is kind of self-indulgent too, but I am kind of interested in what you'd say. What am I really good at that perhaps I'm unaware of?
It's interesting too, because I don't know what you're unaware of. You're a pretty self-aware person. So that's kind of part of it that.
Yeah.
But I would say.
I guess you can think about it.
I have one. I would say, I think that you have more softness than you think you have. I think you think of yourself as like more reserved, which in ways you are, but you have such a sweetness and such a warmth about you that I don't think you know is to the extent that it is.
That's a very, very cool compliment. I really appreciate that.
Because you do have a really straightforward, funny, off-the-cuff, sarcastic sense of humor and personality as well. Like, you can be really bold. And when you're meeting new people, it depends on kind of how they are as well. For how you present, especially at the beginning. But sometimes I see in you this like real, real, real softness that comes out. I do feel like you are actively trying to cultivate that more in your life. But it's just, I like to see it come out of you because I feel like it shows growth and like confidence that you're building.
It definitely does. My most true self is that person.
We all are. I think we're all kind of hiding our soft spots in certain ways.
Yeah. This is fun.
Yeah. Okay. Who in our family do you think I'm most similar to? And who am I the most different from?
Oh, that's easy. You're definitely the most similar to Ryan.
Oh.
Yeah, that's very easy. You're most similar to Ryan because you have like a left brain, right brain. That's kind of a tongue twister.
Mm-hmm.
Split to you. Yeah, you're very split in the middle of creative, like doing creative artsy things versus doing like sporty things and or smart things. Like you're a very cerebral person. You're really book smart, but then you also really gravitate towards using the side of your brain that's creative. And then on the same note too, you guys both definitely wear your heart on your sleeve.
But then also too, physically, you have the same feet as him. You have the same legs as him. You have the same butt as him. Like sometimes when I look at you standing, it's fucking trippy. I love it. It's so cool. But, and I even like, dad has the same feet as you guys. And really? Dad has the exact same hands as Ryan, which I love looking at his hands
sometimes.
Oh, he sometimes.
Does. You're so right.
Exact same hands. Ryan's were just a little smaller, but yeah. Yeah, your feet, like your bowed legs and your skinny legs, but like your butt and your just everything. It's very trippy. Mm. It's cool. And then who are you most opposite from? You're most opposite from Carrie.
Yeah.
You're most opposite from Carrie because Carrie is the most outwardly facing rational person. She's the gooeyest, warmest, loving person inside, but how she approaches the world is in an incredibly black and white way.
Yeah.
And Carrie protects her heart at all yes. costs in a very understood, like that's just her personality type.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Carrie is the fucking best. Like I love how she does life. I love how, like it's so cool being both of your little sisters because I've gotten to see how both you guys do life at an, yeah. in an intimate way and kind of cherry pick what I like and yeah. what I don't like, yeah. you know? And it's very cool.
That is one of the best parts of being a sibling.
It's very cool. Again, these things are all like,
there's with, a spectrum with,
yeah,
for
there's
everything.
A spectrum, of course.
Historically, I've been extremely hard on my sleeve. I've also had my heart really broken, not just in romantic ways, but just in life in yeah. certain ways and have kind of walled up. But I definitely think there's like a middle ground there where learning my boundaries is a very healthy thing for me.
Yeah,
it's not
a
bad thing.
In a very healthy way, you've come to a place where you're not as hard on your sleeve. You're more like you have that shit guarded a little bit more.
I'll take my time more in certain situations, whereas before I would have really thrown myself into stuff that maybe wasn't going to be like the healthiest experience for me to yeah. have, you know?
Yeah. But then a similarity that you, actually, I would like to think all of us have this. I wish I was a little more like this, honestly, but you, Ryan, and Carrie all have this, is a curiosity about life, but it's not only a curiosity about things, it's a willingness to learn about those things.
Mm.
So all of you guys really like to understand and you'll actually do research. You'll read books about something that you're interested in. You'll read both sides of things. You'll like really read articles where I'm a little bit more, and maybe it's the product of being your guys' younger sibling where I just kind of trust that you've done the research. So I just listen to what you have to say about it. But I do think I'd like to be better about it because it takes away from my own learning experience of yeah. just like understanding things. And maybe my mindset doesn't line up with yours. And
totally.
Maybe I'm not giving myself enough of a chance to formulate my own opinion. So
totally.
I would say you three are very similar in that way where you're not only interested in learning about life and different types of people, but you'll actually follow through and teach yourself about it and like talk about it, you know?
That's so...
The three of you.
I love that. It's yeah. true. Carrie is really like that too.
I'm sure Caitlin's like that.
I think a lot of it does come with age too. So if you just start practicing in small ways that don't feel like some huge undertaking for you, I think you'll start to find the joy in it and
yeah.
it'll be a fun addition to your life.
Yeah. That's true. That's kind of a cute question. What's something that felt normal growing up that you now realize is special?
I mean... This is kind of a boring answer, but having so many siblings that I'm so close to.
Yeah. That would be my answer too.
Yeah. I think I really took for granted how close-knit our family is for a really long time. And I didn't realize that many, many families are not like that. You know, many siblings don't have such a commitment to each other, I think, to show up for each other and to overcome obstacles and issues in your relationships to just be committed to that relationship for the long term. Like, I feel like all of our siblings, especially in our adulthood, we've chosen each other.
Yeah, definitely we have.
There have been
like
multiple really, really, really hard times that we could have drifted apart. And we've chosen to have hard conversations and grow each of us individually as people so that we could show up healthy for each other. And on a simple level, we weren't always like that as kids. There was tons of chaos. We had so much chaos in our family and plenty of dysfunction for sure. But on the simplest level, I didn't even realize that having so many siblings that kind of walk through life with you, even if you guys are like fight or whatever, it's a blessing.
Yeah, I would say that's my answer too.
Okay, this isn't even... This is both. No. Okay. Which one of us is most likely to put an ice cream carton back in the fridge with just one bite left?
You.
I actually think you.
Really?
Keezy. Well, that's why I was going to say that we both do that. Okay. That's like a Madden family thing. We always leave one bite there.
Actually, you're right. Like, I definitely eat a bag of chips and then leave crumbs.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason.
Remember when you opened that peanut butter carton at Graham's house and it literally had nothing in it? Yeah. Oh, and we were like, why the fuck is this in the fridge?
If I had Instagram, I would have made a really funny joke at that point. I don't know if I had it.
You did. We put up a picture of it.
Oh, did we?
No, I put up a picture of it. It's probably like 600 weeks ago or something. You'd have to scroll back so far.
Find it.
So funny. If our family made a cookbook, what meals would be included?
Oh my God, that's so easy. Tri-tip. Literally tri-tip. And now that I live with my parents too.
You should do a breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert.
Okay. You want me to do that right
yes.
now? Okay. So for breakfast, oh man, this is hard because are we talking like from childhood?
Yeah, let's do from childhood because it's probably funnier.
Okay. From childhood, the breakfasts that really come to mind for me are always going to be a bowl of cereal, which isn't a cookbook, but
or
like
crepe.
That was a staple.
Remember when mom was like had a fanatic of making crepes?
Of course.
Which sounds so but decadent,
then also,
but it wasn't.
Also, because we had our very poor moments, cream of wheat was huge. Cream of wheat would have to be in the cookbook.
Yeah.
Because we were like pretty fucking poor at a good portion
There's
of our childhood.
There's not much to it.
It's really cheap.
Yeah.
And all you need is throw some cream in there. Mom used to make that shit bomb.
Everyone
though.
Knows. If you don't know the cream of wheat vibe.
You're blessed.
You are blessed.
You grew up in a lot better of a position and I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to make cream of wheat, good for you. Yeah. You are fortunate. But that shit was kind of banging sometimes.
So good.
For lunch, saucy dogs. Okay, so if no one, again, this shows how poor we were. If no one knows what a saucy dog, or do you remember when mom used to show up?
Pigs in a blanket.
It's pigs in a blanket. Okay, but sometimes we call it saucy dogs. If Carrie,
because
Carrie's going to be listening and she's going to be like, it's called a saucy dog.
Because it literally had those tiny packets of like Taco Bell hot sauce that we've...
So my mom's like literally a packet hoarder. Like she saves packets from fucking fast food.
It's gross, but it's
and
hilarious.
And so she used to show up to our school and she would have hot dogs wrapped in a
tortilla
with cheese. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's even different than pigs in a blanket because pigs in a blanket's like phyllo dough around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it mom was not doing fucking
level.
Phyllo
no,
dough.
No,
she
no,
was
no.
wrapping a tortilla around
yes.
that shit.
Yeah.
So I would say saucy dogs are our lunch. And then dinner... So, like, somewhere in the middle of my life, you guys, my parents turned into insane health freaks.
Yeah.
And it just happened one day.
Yeah.
But, like, for
you know,
the
we
first...
we had a lot of hamburger helper, too.
Yo, for the first 9 years of my life, or at least 9 or 10, it was Kraft mac and cheese, hamburger helper, just shitty food. But my mom always emphasized fruits and vegetables. She's always been really big on, like... bowel movements. She would be like, you need to eat fruit because you're not going to poop, like whatever. So she's always been big on it, but we definitely ate a lot of that. And then one day, bro, it was like, in the best way possible, I love it. I love that they're so healthy. All of a sudden, like, I couldn't even find a chip in the house. I was like, what is going on? Not actually, but like, things just really changed. We stopped drinking cow's milk. We started drinking almond milk. Like, things just really, the leaves were turning over there, you know?
Totally.
But yeah, I would say, what's like a typical family dinner for us? It's changed now.
We have to add a dessert.
Oh, that's so easy.
Apple crisp.
Yeah. That's the dessert.
I used to be the cookie aficionado, though. I used to really bake cookies constantly when
I
was a kid.
We had a lot of desserts when we were kids.
Yeah.
Chocolate chip cookies were a regular rotation.
We had a lot of s'mores. Do you remember?
A lot of s'mores.
We used to have s'mores all the time.
A lot of s'mores.
And we would do it in the toaster oven.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Always.
S'mores, apple crisp, which... everyone knows what that is. It's basically like apple cobbler, but instead of...
People know the apple crisp.
Okay, don't disrespect
the people.
And then we would also... You would make lemon bars quite a bit.
I did. I did have a phase of that.
You would make lemon bars. And oh, you know what too? Growing up, we had a lot of Eggos too.
Yeah, we did.
We had a lot of frozen waffles.
We had frozen dinners in general.
We
had a lot of chicken pot pies.
Yes, a lot of chicken pot pies.
A lot of frozen pizzas.
I fucked with that. A lot of frozen DiGiorno pizzas.
Yeah.
A lot of. I was so sad when they stopped making the sauce stuffed crust. They only did the cheese stuffed crust. And I love like a lot of sauce on my pizza.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, actually that's probably, I would say for like 13 and younger, that would be our dinner. like yeah. in our cookbook is a frozen dinner.
Yeah.
Some kind of frozen pizza, frozen chimichanga.
And also I would like to make sure that everyone knows that our mom is a really, really good cook.
Yeah, she's really good.
We just did not have very much money. So
she also had five kids and she was like really drowning. So by the time it got to the end of the day, she was like, yo, I love you guys. Find some food.
Find your own food.
Yeah. She was very much so find your own food at the end of the day.
Okay, next question.
What's the best gift a family member has ever given to you, material or immaterial?
Yeah, I think Ryan's birthday cards.
Okay, yeah, I knew you were going to say that. That would be my answer too.
And they were also my favorite gift before he passed away though as well.
Yeah, he made
like,
a banging birthday
card. I used to harass him every year to make sure that he was going to give me a birthday card.
Yeah.
He actually wrote in one of my birthday cards, I knew you were going to ask me if I was going to write this.
Yeah. Yeah, he made a great birthday card. He always wrote the best notes.
Yeah, so heartfelt and so sweet.
I love my birthday cards too. Which friend of mine do you think brings out the best in me? What do they bring out?
I personally think Ivory.
Honestly, I am not going to lie. It's kind of true.
I'm such a dick for that.
No, I'm not going to lie. It's true.
No, I just think that we bring out really good in each other because I think we really hold each other accountable. Yeah. And I think that's an important part of bringing out the good in someone.
So like,
I think Ruby brings out the best in both of us.
Yeah, Ruby brings out really, she brings out a great.
She just makes us have so much fun.
Yeah, she is so great. I fucking love you if you're listening to this.
Yeah, I think because we can have so many deep conversations with her and reflect on life and really go there with her, but we also just have so much fucking fun with her. So I'd say Ruby.
That's a good answer.
What consistently brings a smile to my face?
Dogs.
Yep. I knew you were going to say that.
Dogs.
Animals.
Every single time. Dogs. Animals. Like, unless the dog is being harmed, it's going to make her smile. And if it's being harmed, it's going to invoke like a different emotion.
Extreme
but it's
going to
invoke a lot of emotion.
And anger.
Yeah. There's nothing else that like consistently could bring you out of a bad mood like a dog could. True. An animal could.
True. Who in the family has gotten the most speeding tickets?
Mom. Graham. Just kidding.
I think Carrie, but I think because she has really bad luck.
No, bitch. Carrie gets a cell phone ticket like once a month. I don't know about speeding
Carrie
tickets.
Carrie literally just has the worst luck.
She has terrible luck with cops. She really does. You're so right. I don't know about speeding tickets, but I know she gets a hell of a lot of cell phone tickets.
Yes.
Who in our family would most likely get TikTok famous? What would they go viral for?
Okay, well,
that's the easiest
probably
answer.
6 months ago, I would have said you and just for something off the cuff funny. And now it's Caitlin because of her meals.
No, it's fucking Ellie.
Oh, yeah. But Caitlin is like her food social media is getting there.
Yeah, like it's actually only a matter of time till Kiki goes viral. But that's definitely think
so
for
true.
Like some funny shit, Ellie.
That's so true. I don't know why I didn't think of that. You're right. What do you think our family's superpower is?
Staying together against all odds. I would say that. Is our superpower. At this point, I would also say one of our superpowers are letting bygones be bygones because things that were like big focuses of like disagreements and stuff, I feel like just kind of have washed by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. What do you think my favorite and least favorite holiday is? Explain.
Oh, God. That's a really good question because honestly, it's easier to think of your least favorite than your favorite.
Yes.
To be quite honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I would assume your favorite is Christmas.
Yeah.
That's just, like, from our conversations, I would assume Christmas is just such a joyful day.
Yeah, I love Christmas.
I would assume Thanksgiving is up there, too, with, like...
Yeah, but I always get a bellyache.
I know, I was literally going to say that. I was going to say you always get sick on Thanksgiving, so, like, it's kind of dark. It's kind of dark for you, you know, because, like, you can't handle all the rich food. So you get, like, sick and shit.
I don't even overeat that much. I just always get sick because all the food is so like decadent.
Yeah. And then I would say your least favorite is probably like the pushy, well, we talk about this, the pushy party holidays that like New Year's Eve this last year was a hot ass mess. Like with
always.
Yeah. You don't have to add that, but like.
I'll just bleep it.
Yeah, exactly. But like it's always a hot mess. We're always scrambling to find something to do, which it's Kiki's birthday, but usually she's out of town.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're always scrambling to find something to do. Everything's expensive and full.
I feel like, and this is really going to ruffle some feathers. Halloween.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
My least favorite because I hate a dress-up party. And that makes me sound like the Grinch.
No, how did I forget that? We're the same, though, in that way. That's why we go together.
I hate a themed party.
Me too.
I don't want to be told what to wear.
Me neither.
I don't want to dress to a theme like that.
Should we be ketchup and mustard this year in those big suits?
Sure.
Okay, cool. How important do you think birthdays are to me? Explain.
Your birthday?
Yeah.
How important do I think your birthday is to you?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. I've never really been able to figure this out because we had a really fun 21st birthday for you. We've had like really fun birthdays for you.
Yeah.
When we went out to Delilah and we all got COVID.
The best. My 25th birthday was the fucking goat.
It was.
We all blacked out and got COVID. But the gag is, you guys, we were at a 6-person table, a round table, and every other person at the table got COVID.
It makes no
sense at all.
No.
But every single person was fucking gone off this planet.
And her birthday's 3 days before Christmas, which means half of our family had a COVID Christmas together and half of our family
was together.
Was separate.
It was so dark. We went to a movie. The non-COVIDers went to a movie.
Yeah, I feel like you guys had a worse time than us.
We had a whack ass. The COVID Christmas had an amazing Christmas. You guys did fucking steak and lobster for Christmas. And I was at a fucking movie. I was like, it was grainy. I was like, this is whack. No. I'm sorry. That birthday was worth it, but like, this is shit. It was crazy. And then we celebrated like a week later when everyone was COVID negative.
I do feel like I don't know how much because over the past couple of years, you haven't really been able to celebrate, especially during the day, because you have like a really busy work season when your birthday falls. And so outward facing, you've been really calm and okay with in your birthday not being like the center of everyone's focus. I don't think that you're somebody that ever needs to be the center of attention whatsoever. So I don't think that your birthday is like do or die for you. Everybody has to celebrate me, blah, blah, blah. But I think that you do love the celebratory aspect of it. So when it does come together, I think it makes you really happy. But I don't know, like on a deep level, how you really feel about it.
Honestly, you kind of hit it. You know, the last few birthdays that I've had have been some of my most special. And I think it's because I had this mindset shift around birthdays where I just have like come to this place where I just want it to be like a day of gratitude for myself. And then all of anybody's like kind words or gifts or anything, any celebration that we do feels like an added bonus. So it just feels so joyful because the joy actually just comes from like my own gratitude. And I don't know where that shift came from, but it's been fun. I love celebrating for sure, but I also just love a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
I fucking love a reason to celebrate. Me too. So they're fun. Birthdays are fun, but I'm definitely not a birthday princess.
No.
I'm also not someone that I would say is a wet blanket on my birthday where I'm like, we don't have to do anything. Like, I don't want to do anything. Like, I want to enjoy my life, but I'm not like, meet me here at this time and like my friends better not miss it. Like if something comes up and you miss it, that's all good, you know?
Yeah. Well, this was fun.
Yeah, this was great. I liked this. I feel like we got some fun. It was like just fun to chat back and forth. Can we do like a million of these?
Yeah.
I like these.
I also love remembering things that I don't think about that often.
Yeah, me too.
It kind of makes me happy.
Me too.
Like we had plenty of really hard stuff in our childhood, but it's like, it's nice to make light of it afterwards.
It's true.
And just find the humor in it and the joy and stuff. And I really like it.
You look back on something and it's just another memory and it honestly becomes funny at a certain point because you lived through it and you did it. And like talking about like a saucy dog, like we ate that shit and now it's hilarious to talk about. And like, we don't really eat that anymore, but like, it's fucking hilarious to think about that.
So, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, success, my dog. That was fun.
Love you.
I love you. And I love anybody. If anybody's listening to this, I love you.
I love you.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.